me ask you a question. Have you ever had a dream where it was the same dream?
Yes.
Okay, that's not a dream.
Okay.
That's never a dream. You have a double dream that's the same dream? Okay, those are beings talking to you, but they're not going to cause you trauma. And because they have respect and they don't want to cause you trauma, they'll always appear the same way.
Your title would be just an authentic channeler, extraterrestrial.
Let the audience decide if I'm authentic, right? They
right.
may not.
Okay, fair.
You know, you can just say that I am a channeler of an extraterrestrial consciousness, and in this case, a reptilian race.
Okay.
And then drill me on it, really.
Man, well, I think I'm just going to leave that part in right there and get started. Yeah. This is Anthony from Canadian Awareness. Now, he's been on my podcast previously, and we talked about everything. And I'm going to say the names wrong, but we talked about extraterrestrials, we talked about reptilians, we talked about chemtrails, we talked about a whole bunch of different things. And today what I want to do with Anthony, who travels the world channeling and speaking with individuals, enlightening them and speaking his truth. He's also been a speaker at the 2022 UFO MegaCon. I mean, this guy is blowing up. What I love about you, now I know you said you're going to let the audience decide whether or not you are authentic. I know you to be a very authentic individual. Please welcome Anthony to the channel. Thank you for being here again, buddy.
Appreciate it. Great to be here. Great to talk to you. It's been a while since I've seen you last. My regards to you, your team, your family, and everyone that watches your podcast and watches your show. So greetings to everyone that watches the Launchpad.
All right. Now, I've had the good fortune to meet you in person. We've developed a friendship over the past year, and I'm just going to tell you what I told other people.
Okay.
Now, I'm a free-thinking individual, and some of the most intelligent people that I know, some of the most intelligent people in the space, speak of reptilians and channeling reptilians, okay? Now, I am also somewhat of a skeptic. Right. It's like that friend that talked to you about UFOs. And I'm like, yeah, I believe in UFOs. And then when someone tells me that they were abducted by an alien, I'm like, OK, that's it's hard to swallow. So with the time that I got to spend with you, I tell people, like, listen, I can't say for sure whether reptilians, and this is what you did to me, whether reptilians are real or not. But then I speak to you and you don't miss a beat when we talk about them, to where it creates conflict in me, because you paint such a real picture for me in regards to who reptilians are, why they're here, and how did you even just come to channel your first reptilian being?
So that's a very complex question that would really require a complex answer. It's not something easily answered. And most time when you say to someone reptilians, immediately due to the programming, religious programming and life conditioning itself, fake news, TV and the society, man-made religions, revised educational systems, and just the overall society we live in, which is an extremely passive, submissive, dumbed down society, and the energy itself, you'll be able to see that immediately people will refer to anyone that speaks to angels, anyone that speaks to extraterrestrials, anyone that's had any supernatural experience or contact, they'll say, oh yeah, demon possessed. But yeah, that very same person cannot educate me and tell me, where does the word demon come from? Mm-hmm. Because the religions don't tell you that. The Vatican revised that, of course. So it is very difficult to convince someone. And one of the things certainly I've learned in the industry is I don't have to convince anyone of anything. And majority of my life, when it comes to extraterrestrials or researching space and cosmic and interstellar galactic topics, celestial topics, you know, like I've done this for a very long time, reading, studying, traveling, going to the expos, listening to this speaker, going to that speaker, getting his autograph, getting his book. So this isn't anything new to me. And one of the things that I always say, and I really mean this humbly, and I think you'll understand because you know me more on a personal level, is I am very open to all debates, all conversations of research and exchanging information with my peers. The rest, I teach. So those that wish to explain things to me, I'm willing to listen. But again, the existence of extraterrestrials isn't anything new. They've been here for a very long time. We're not 5,000-6,000 years old as a race. We have sites today that you can visit, ranging from Göbekli Tepe to Corral to Giza pyramids. They're anywhere at least 20 to 30,000 years old and so forth. So I always knew the existence of extraterrestrials, just like I knew the existence of reptilian species on Earth. And one of them is Nagai race. Second is the Anunnaki race. Third is the Demon Ga, where the demons come from, that term, and so forth. So as I was gravitating towards consciousness of extraterrestrial type of intelligence and those beings over the years, that is, I've learned of certain speakers in the industry that were channelers already. And one of them was a great gentleman out of Germany, David Lauer, who channeled a sixth density Alpha Draconian race named Kalask. Second one was someone that you met. He's a great friend of mine, Rob Garthier from the Evolution Hour Network. You've interviewed him. He's interviewed you. He's interviewed me. Great guy out of Detroit. He was my trainer, or I would say teacher, for a while to introduce me to channeling. I've hired underground channelers, so private people that have had their own experience, but they're not on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to see if telepathy is a conspiracy theory or is telepathy real. And it is very real. It just needs to be enabled. So that was my path. It was, right. I was introduced into the industry, and then I gravitated towards the reptilian consciousness as I found them to be fascinating. Yeah.
Right. So I want to jump in here. You do well for yourself. You're a successful guy.
Yes.
And when speaking with my friends, it's like, listen, this dude has more to lose than he does have to gain. Do you know what I mean? In regards to like the worldly perception, like just things, materialistic things that I know don't matter to you. And that when I speak to you, that you come from an out of this worldly type place that I cannot explain. And same with Rob, which again, brings me in. You make me a believer. Now, you know this whole type of rigmarole where somebody will be like, I think this person's batshit crazy. Again, I know that you don't care about that, but I'm sure there must have been a point where you make contact with an extraterrestrial being, and you have to be questioning whether or not you're crazy. Did that not ever happen to you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first portion, thank you for the compliment. You're right. And it's important for the audience to know. And you have some audience that's my audience. Mm-hmm. And even a female from Hamilton that introduced you and me in the very first place knows very well why I do what I do. And I'm the one that introduced her to Rob Garthier as well. Mm-hmm. So she's aware of her extraterrestrial contact, and she's in a wonderful spiritual path, and big regards to her. But in relation to the business, yeah, I don't do channeling so I can charge you a few $100. I don't have respect for the money. I think money is worthless, really. I already am very fortunate, very grateful, and very honored to have the life that I do. I live in a larger home. It's bigger than most people's homes. And I have a business that I built myself. You know, my daddy didn't give it to me. It's not some third generation. No, it's Anthony's generation. I built it.
Right.
So the channeling thing is just an adventure that I followed. I had my own contact, which was not with a reptilian. My first contact was with a small 4-foot, little typical gray that we call them grays, Zeta grays. And in this case, it was a race named Yael. And I have a video on my YouTube page in relation to that experience. And this happened in my house, and it was very shocking. And one of the first things that being said was, I'm not here to harm you.
Right.
And he suspended my fear. So I knew that I had that mental power to be able to either enable your telepathy or to suspend your fear, to suspend your urination, to suspend you shaking, to suspend anything. They can literally suspend your digestive system if they wish to take you on a craft. You'll never get hungry, and you will not have a necessity to poop or pee. So it all really all depends how far you want to take it. And as a guy that's not married, I have no kids, I'm a free-spirited guy, and I'm a pretty ballsy guy. So I said, hey, you know what? Why feel fear? Why not push the limits of human emotions? And why not push the limits of these human resistances? We all have resistances. We're all scared of something. So I said, let's explore this. And this is truly where I hired professionals, such as, let's say, Barbara Lamb, one of the top professionals when it comes to regression. Mm-hmm. And I was regressed by that. And I realized, no, truly, this was an extraterrestrial. This was not just some hallucinations. And I don't even smoke. I don't do drugs. You know that. We went out.
Right.
And no, this was a definite experience. So I say, you know what? Hey, I don't think I'm any special than anyone else, but definitely I wish to pursue this professionally. So I learned. And hired the best of the best, truly traveled to hire best of the best. And eventually I learned enough to be able to have the communication with my soul layers, and each soul is divided into approximately 120 parts. Mm. Most souls, human, organic humans, 120 parts. So the key element is to establish the connection telepathically in deep meditative states with your soul layers in order for you to establish a channeling connection with what is called fourth density layer.
Okay.
And this is where the channeling comes in. It's almost like a conduit. It is a tunnel. It is a conduit between you and point B. And you've got to get there. And how do you do it? Well, you got to do it mentally, right? So there are certainly practices to do it, and anyone can do it. But then again, I wish to say that unfortunately, particularly in Canada, we live in an extremely weak, passive, sheep-type consciousness, collective consciousness, and environment. People are fighting during Boxing Day here now in 2022 over toilet paper sales. So you can't tell them about reptilians.
Right.
Okay? They're too busy worshiping imaginary gods. I mean, don't forget, too, Christians represent 53.3% in Canada when it comes to religions. The rest are different religions. So this is a country of religions, okay, not a free-spirited country of spirituality.
Right. So let's play reptilian fact, reptilian fiction, okay? Because there's two things that I came across. One, I have no idea, and that's why you're here. And the other one is incredibly interesting to me because in looking at ancient hieroglyphics, there are many reptilian figures that have been portrayed throughout the thousands of years. And I don't know, again, how long we've been around. This is your whole thing. So that would be some very strong factual evidence. You would have to think that at one point, reptilians, were they here on Earth or were they always just channeled? And just to tail end that question in regards to, are they here now and infiltrating Earth through powerful positions in order, you know what, let me just reverse that. Anthony, let me just, I'm going to say that all over again. Reptilian fact, reptilian fiction, is that we've seen the hieroglyphics, etc. So have they been here? Are they here? Like, what's the representation of the hieroglyphics that we see through your eyes and through your knowledge of speaking with reptilians?
Unfortunately, our history has been extremely revised over the years. The history you learn today in school, you're learning 1%. We're still told that the Egyptians built the pyramids when obviously they weren't, okay? So they have nothing to do with pyramid building, nor were any mummies ever found in the pyramid or kings buried. Remember, no bones, no jewelry, no art, no mummies were ever found. So we're lied about the pyramids, just like we're lied about the floods. We're lied about Jesus. His real name was Joshua ben Joseph, not Jesus. He was never crucified. He lived on with Mary. So those are some of the things that we can see as far as even tapping into the true history, because of the emotional attachment of an average human being, particularly the ones that are emotionally attached to the programming, emotional attachment to their priests, religions, what pastors, whoever you worship, right? And some people worship it beautifully. They do not have an open mind to hear anything else. They already are conditioned to believe in what they're told to believe, okay? Mm-hmm. So because of that, that also kind of now ties into the existence of extraterrestrials, because a common comment will be, well, if there are, then our space agencies will tell us. Really? Your space agency is busy sending a CGI video of a Tesla car circling around Earth. And if you think that's real, probably you need a little more learning to do to see how densities, dimensions, and gravity works. Right. In relation to moon landing, great example, never occurred. It was filmed in the studio and so forth. So there's a lot of lies, right? And it's very difficult to snap out of those lies in order to find out the truth. Mm-hmm. Whenever people find out the truth, they're immediately labeled again due to programming and conditioning by calling them conspiracy theories and other things like iron hat or fish hat or whatever these term, tin foil hat and all these things. But then the most of the spiritual people that I talk to who are called conspiracies have the most brilliant minds. These right. humans can educate me and you on dimensions and interdimensional travel and portals and wormholes and black holes and other things that no internet can educate, but that's okay. So when it comes to reptilians, again, it's a very hard subject. They are extremely real.
Okay.
Oh, they're very real.
And
they're
the connection?
And connection to Earth, yeah. So they've always been here. They've been here before right. us. Dinosaurs have been here before us. They're not made up. Dinosaurs are very real. They're a direct DNA creation, direct genetic creation by the Alpha Draconian Empire. Two or three races that decided to do that the dinosaurs were destroyed one day, Yucatan region in Mexico, due to a meteor that we're told that it's a meteor, but it was actually a projectile by another race, competing race from Tikrit, planet Tikrit, sixth density humanoid Pleiadian race. And then there was a war between the Draconians and these beings, okay? So basically the reptilian existence on Earth has really been always going on. They're still here today. They run Earth. This is their planet. This is not your planet, not my planet. This is their planet. There's 800 million, approximately 800 million population of actual physical beings.
Okay.
Now, primitive mind will take that and say, oh, you're trying to tell me they're hiding in some cave? No, this is where the education is in relation to dimensions and densities. They don't live in the density that we live in. What that means is they can stand right next to you on the top of a mountain and you will not see them. They're one density above us.
Okay, now they are not benevolent beings, or
they're
some
neutral.
Are, but
neutral.
They're neutral. Okay, so some of the stuff that I've seen, and this is where you can shed some light, because I know one thing that you detest is bullshit channelers.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And there's a lot of people out there sharing a whole bunch of knowledge that really, if anything, pulls people further away from the truth that maybe otherwise they would believe, right? Because it's just a bunch of nonsense. So here's some of the stuff that I've read, and you can tell me whether or not this is legitimate or not. I've read things about child abductions, if they're responsible for that. And then another one would be the fact that the way that they take over planets is that they infiltrate high-powered positions and basically rip apart the fabric of society from the inside out. No. Okay. So clarify, please.
Complex question. This would require hours of speaking and giving you proper education on planetary wars and planetary systems, star systems, moons, and other collectives, and also galactic societies that are around the Earth. So it's very difficult to answer that. So again, on the internet, you're hearing a lot of propaganda, a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of anti-reptilian propaganda, because obviously they're the most, you know, hated species out there due to their physical descriptions, their physical appearances. If they were called reptilians, but they looked like humanoids, oh yeah, people would love them. People desire and gravitate those things that they feel safe around. They don't feel safe around insectoids, just like they don't feel safe around reptilians. Reptilians, when it comes to the Earth, I'll summarize this for you. When it comes to Earth-based reptilians, they do live in fourth density. They are technically below us, but it's a fourth density, so it's within our own height, if you want to call it. Whether they're 6 inches below me right now or 6 inches above me, it's a different density. They have their entire world within our world. This isn't some world that the NASA tells us about. This is a reality. This is holographic in nature. This is a realm, this world we live in. This is a realm. So we share this with other beings. We share this with races such as Satas Gait. We share this with races that are of the elemental nature, which can be found in the rivers and so forth. This is why often humans have gravitation to have a lot of contact in relation to nature, forests, rivers, and creeks, and so forth. So yeah, they're definitely here. Do they shapeshift? Absolutely. They're experts at that. Can they look like you? They can look just like you, physical. So two Jasons standing next to one another, physical.
Right.
Absolutely. Can they do that? Yes. Are some humans them? Oh, God, yeah. But they live here.
Right.
They've been here. They're experts at that. If it was an example someone gave me, a reptilian gave me, said, if we put 10 of your cars in front of you and the 11th one is the one that we shapeshift into, so an actual being can shift into a vehicle, he says you would have no idea which one is a fake vehicle,
really?
Which one's a real vehicle, because they use technology that's not from here.
Okay.
It's off-planet technology, and they've been here before us, so they don't need to, like, call someone up on a phone. They use telepathy.
Okay. Now, right? What about doppelgangers, people that look the same but completely other parts of the world? Does that have anything to do with... No, that's just
That would be
random.
More of a genetic thing, right?
Okay.
Like, that's genetics, human DNA. We can get into that when it comes to revisions of DNA and why we have certain things that are inserted into our DNA, but that's not related to Earth-based reptilians or any reptilian race that are in higher density, higher dimensional places.
Okay, but we do have reptilian DNA?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely.
We're hybrids. And what would be the percentage of that?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. That is a very accurate statement. Human race is a hybrid race. We have contributions of reptilian DNA. We have contributions of Alpha Draconian DNA. This is what gives us that fight and flight, that toughness.
Okay.
But then we also have other contributions of quite benevolent, quite loving energies. So humanoid races and feline races and so forth. Yes, absolutely. We're okay. Hybrid race.
And how does one know how much of reptilian race they have in them? How much of an impact is it on how we live our lives as well?
That would not be related. Like, you could freaking call me and say, hey, you know, you're a channeler. Can you tell me how much Arcturus DNA, how much DNA do I have from a feline race? No one really would know that. Mm-hmm. Even if you spoke to your soul does not know the accurate percentages. They can tell you, say, hey, you have tremendous amount of, let's say, humanoid race from Arcturus that lives on this moon and or they live on a ship, and you have their DNA because they can see percentages of DNA. But to give you an accurate number, I have no idea. I mean, I know that an average person would have somewhere about 8 to 9% reptilian DNA. I've looked into my own DNA and wanted to see what it is and why is it my gravitation towards them. And this is where I've learned that a lot of previous incarnations, I've had some lives and different planets. Incarnation, right? Incarnation is a real thing, mechanism of the universe. We all incarnate everywhere. Today we're on Earth. It's a coincidence you and I met. Maybe it's not coincidence. In my perspective, it's not. We belong right. to the same oversoul. So right. we incarnate, but sometimes we incarnate as other beings or vice versa.
And people are generally negative when it comes to reptilians, almost all the time when I hear about reptilians.
They're scared, right? It's different. You have to understand, you know, Jason, is that it's extremely, I would say, visually challenging to accept that there is a being that you only saw in Hollywood movies. Now it's real. You mm-hmm. also have to be, and I'll point to picture. One of the times I've seen one was I stood in front of him. He stood in front of me, and behind him, so behind his body, I saw something moving. And as I peeked like this to the right, it was a tail that was like 8 foot tall, 10 foot tall. Now imagine the fear that I felt. A right. tail wiggling behind a being. You always see that in horror movies, right? But I mm-hmm. understood that is almost as their third leg. And as Aziz explained, he says, do not feel fear. We need to keep this moving. It works with our heart this way. And sometimes we'll use the tail as a support. So when right. I lean back.
Now, Anthony, you can understand, like, to a person like me, that's like, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, if I saw that, I'd be checking myself into the hospital. Like, I just saw something that is not real.
I would disagree because okay. it's your society
right.
that tells you to feel that way.
Well,
remember, too, at the same time, they do suspend your fear.
Yeah,
they suspend your emotions. They suspend any phobias you have. They suspend any fear that you have brought through epigenetics, meaning DNA studies, mm-hmm. from all of the previous incarnations.
Okay.
They suspend it all because they're not there to kill you, rape you, drink your blood, hurt you. Trust me, they wouldn't have traveled that far.
Okay.
And when I mean travel, just for the audience, that we're all clear and we all understand, they're interdimensional. That means they do not need to fly to get here.
Right. They travel through portals.
Show up here. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's one second.
I've been doing some of my research here. And I am more on your side than I would ever be against. I'm trying to take this from a skeptical point of view, right? To hopefully ask some questions that the person out there that is curious about reptilians that maybe takes that step forward, has the good fortune to meet you now on this level and maybe reach out to you in regards to channeling and having a greater understanding. And I'm very aware, and I have this conversation in regards to false flag operations when it comes to the government and with movies, all entertainment, comic books, whatever it might be. Aliens are always this race of people that are going to come to this world and they're going to blow the fuck up out of everything, right?
There's your programming.
And that next level, I've heard that one of these operations could be to fabricate and basically green screen an alien invasion. And what would be most people's reaction to an alien invasion? Well, it would be the same thing that we've been told all along, that we're ants. They're from a much more powerful place, and they're just going to step on us and take us over. So there would be immediate fear. And we saw that back in the 50s with the radio program. Was that Orwell that did that? But there was
We just saw that in 2020 when everyone bought out the toilet paper.
Sure. Right. So there have been, like, people were losing their fucking minds when the radio program aired. So there's most definitely a fear that has been instilled in all of us in regards to intergalactic and extraterrestrial beings. See, I'm doing good here.
You are.
So how do people step past that fear? How do we get through that programming to get closer to our truest self and speak to these beings, to channel them?
Well, again, you're talking about two different subjects. How do you remove fear is one subject. It is actually a course that I do teach. It's on my website.
Okay.
And second would be removing resistances, which is fears and phobias within your chakra points, your chakra layer points within your system. Primary chakra system has seven vortex points, energy points in the body. I call them vortex points. Some people say energy points. So we have these and we can tap into them, these seven layers or these seven densities that are within us. So they range from 1 to 7 and they go from your anus all to it to your brain area. So it would be removing resistances and fears and working on that, and also working on the traumas and healing those traumas, particularly going to the site of the trauma and doing meditation there in order to pull out the consciousness and the energy out of the soil, out of the ground itself, and have a face-to-face telepathic conversation. Everyone can do it. Yes, it's just the internet tells you can do it. But of course you can do it. And once you start removing resistances and you start removing traumas, the third portion that everyone would need to do at that point is remove what's called blackness. Blackness is something that is over all of our third eye chakra. And basically that prevents you from seeing any extraterrestrial. That prevents you from seeing any craft in the sky. Any craft, that's genuine craft. I'm not referring to drones or government reverse technology crafts. There's both, okay? And that also prevents you from seeing an entity face-to-face in the astral or dream states. That also prevents you from hearing it. And this is why it's important that whichever spiritual teacher you hire or channel you work with, that they can teach you what's called audio and video syncing of the third eye. So when you start doing all these things, which certainly takes several years, if there's no problems and roadblocks, then the fourth step would be integrating soul layers. But then again, you'd need to know what is a soul. If you think you're going to die and go to some heaven and Jesus is waiting for you, no offense to Christians, that's a religious programming. No one's coming. No one's waiting for you. There's a thing called incarnation. So figure out your problems now, figure out your karmas now, figure out your removals of traumas, removals of blacknesses, removals of resistances, and most importantly, do not be a worthless human. So remove the weaknesses installed in you from the Anunnaki days and replace them with honorable things. And when you do that, you're changing the overall consciousness. Then you can start tapping into higher densities and higher dimensional states. And yes, this is where contact comes in. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this third eye then would be a pretty good argument in regards to, well, how come we haven't seen aliens like show up at your front door? How come
the reason why you haven't seen aliens show up in your front door or my front door or a White House in Washington or Parliament in Ottawa is the very same reason that not a single person listening to this video or not listening to this video are not going to randomly get in their car, get on a QEW or a major highway or freeway, pull over randomly on the side of the highway, and then go crawl on grass and in English say, any ants here? And when you find an ant, you're not going to tell that ant how to make eggs.
That's brilliant.
Okay. So you're not going to do that. The same reason an extraterrestrial who is already soul evolved, thousands of incarnations, who doesn't use gasoline, who doesn't have a digestive system, who have two hearts, who have telepathy, who do not speak English or Chinese. Okay. They're not going to be educating you.
Yes.
Why are they real? Because they owe you nothing.
Right.
If you show respect and you have an open mind and you have appreciation for higher intelligence, interstellar intelligence, then yes, you are able to raise the consciousness and the vibration of your own thinking. You're able to raise your overall mindset to be absorbing other pieces of information. What do you think dream states are? You think you just have random dreams? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a dream where it was the same dream?
Yes.
Okay, that's not a dream.
Okay.
That's never a dream. Okay. Like you having a dream riding a horse as you have a unicorn in your hand and there's fireworks and there's ice cream, river, like some, those are dream states. You have a double dream, that's the same dream. Okay. Those are beings talking to you, but they're not going to cause you trauma. And because they have respect and they don't want to cause you trauma, they'll always appear the same way.
And your what should I be pulling out of that dream? Like, what are they trying to tell me? It's so difficult just to remember a dream. Like, I know that I've had the same dream twice, and usually I can remember just a snippet. There's a part of that dream that resonates with me strongly, and I know that I had that before. But of course, I don't get the full dream state. So how can one decipher the information that they're getting from the astral when something like that happens?
First of all, you can't decipher dream states ever because of those are translations. And in order for anyone to understand what that means, they would have to understand truly what is a soul or what's an oversoul and other things. And one of the other things that we need to also I'll briefly mention it, is within this matrix system that we live in, because this is truly a reality, there's also coding. Now, I'll give you some deep information, basically. So if you look at the coding within our system, there's everything around us is a code. If you raise your consciousness, or you have the ability to remove the blackness and see within the fourth density around us, whether you're walking in a park, or you're riding a bicycle, you're just in your backyard having a coffee, the point is you'd be able to see the actual matrix codes. The codes are embedded in most of everything, everywhere, any city, any country, anywhere, Ottawa, Toronto, anywhere. Whether it would be in a support of a consciousness, meaning in a support of a human to assist a human, or in an attempt to scam a consciousness, to deceive a human. And because we live in such a low density world, this dense, ugly world, we do not have the ability to be able to read codes in the coding that was inserted in the fabric of reality back when Anunnakis walked the earth, mm-hmm. back when Alpha Draconians walked the earth, the Nagais, the demon gods, and so forth, the Greys, the earth-based reptilians. We were embedded with codes not to believe anything that's past our third density.
Okay.
And it's extremely difficult to snap out of that, right? So when it comes to the astral states, how can you translate codes? It's extremely difficult to translate codes unless telepathy is enabled between yourself, so your Jason, third density Jason, sitting there right now in a chair, and your fourth density soul consciousness layer. Fourth density consciousness layer handles a dream state layer, handles astral encounters, handles channeling. Channeling is part of the fourth density soul layer. So again, if for someone who's just to judge channelers, then I'm going to ask you a question. Sure, judge me. Explain me what are the first top 10 layers of a soul? Because you know channeling, right? Explain me what that is. And if you don't know what that is, then don't judge something you don't understand. And I truly don't take it personally. Like, I'm a pretty sharp speaker, but I'm also like, I don't really tolerate bullshit. Like I said, I'll debate whatever. I will take your education and thank you for it and buy you a beer. But also you're debating something with someone that spent his entire life pretty much searching pyramids and searching extraterrestrials and ancient civilizations. Channeling? Listen, it's as embarrassing to say it, but I respect you as a human being, Jason. And I'm going to tell you, channeling truly is a very lonely path. It's an extremely lonely path. I've lost a lot of human friends. I've lost some family members, but mainly a lot of human friends. There's a lot of lack of romantic relationships. A lot of women will judge you and say, well, that's just demonic because my priest at church told me to only pray to Jesus, right? A lot of women do not wish to date a guy that talks about, you know, interstellar subjects, right? So channeling is something that certainly had a lot of sacrifices. And when you're channeling, you're going through a lot of physical changes. You're going through a lot of energy changes. Like when I was getting into reptilian consciousness, and what this means for the public, when I was incorporating a reptilian consciousness within my body, because that's what happens in the trance state, you're trading consciousness. He has possession of your body to speak through your mouth by pushing energy out and stealing my English. What ended up happening was, because they come through the root chakra in this particular meditation that I was using, I absorbed so much that I developed two different hemorrhoids, so that I needed to go get surgery, professional surgery in the United States, because in Canada, you have to wait a lot of times. Because I speak to a race of reptilians, very honorable race named Theta Tauri race, fifth density war race. They're a pretty malevolent race. They're neutral towards me, of course. They have white skin. They're known in the galaxy as a white reptilian race. Well, I started developing white patches all around my skin in the areas of my chakras.
Wow.
Stomach, chest, throat, belly button, even the groin area, and some on the back. So there's a lot of things you're going through. So what I'm trying to say is, I wouldn't have dedicated all these times and Saturday nights and weekends and spending my money traveling to expos and trade shows to learn. But as you said earlier, what I've also done, to be very fair to the public, is I do tours, an actual world tours. So right now we're speaking, and you know, we're January 23, just less than 2 months ago, and it's on my Instagram. I was in Russia, Moscow, Hungary, Serbia, Bosnia, the Bosnian pyramid. I was in Istanbul, Turkey, in Dubai, in Qatar, in Doha. So I did a tour of those countries, channeling and promoting reptilian consciousness and working with humans to remove their fears and teaching them how to channel. In the United States, in May of 22, it's also on my website, I did 14 cities in the United States. And now in 23, I have 6 different tours, starting now with February, and then in March, and then in June, and then in August. So I'm a professional channeler. And I've dedicated tremendous amount of sacrifices and energy and dedications to do right. what I do. So I don't take any questions personally. Believe me, I don't really care. You know what I mean? So
right.
want me to help you? Drop the pride. Call me, email me, and I'll help you. Just drop right. the pride and show respect.
And I'll vouch for you, Anthony. I mean, you're someone that, for someone I've known for such a short period of time, I consider you to be a very good friend. I spoke with you over the course of like a full day, 24 hours, and I consider myself to be pretty good at sniffing bullshit. And you've had me challenge my own beliefs on a number of different levels, not just in regards to a reptilian race, but just challenging myself to like, how open am I really? You know, because I feel that people sometimes give themselves a little bit too much credit. Like the ego is so powerful. And sometimes even when you think you have it under control, you don't. And there is not a single question that I ran by this gentleman that he couldn't answer like that. You speak on it like it's the weather. You speak on reptilians and channeling like I talk about weather to my friends. I look out the window, skies are blue, it's sunny, whatever. And I highly encourage an individual that is curious right now about this realm to reach out to Anthony, because he's really just a super fantastic dude. And he's not going to sugarcoat it for you either. Yeah, so be ready.
I appreciate that. And I think it's important to mention too, is first and foremost, do not be afraid of reptilians or Zeta Grays or insectoids. There's a lot of species that are involved with humans. Mm-hmm. The society will not tell you about it. If you drop the fear and have an open mind, there's plenty of wonderful channelers. Wendy Kennedy is one. Gita Rose is another. Lee Harris is another. Rob Garthier is another. So there's Sean Swanson is another. Wiki Teek Koolhoff in Amsterdam. They're everywhere because they've spent literally their entire lives doing one thing. Channeling, practice, channeling. So when it comes to channeling, I will be very honest and say I've always seen it as an honorable act, always. And I've seen it as an authentic channeling. And I've seen that channeling as one of the greatest gifts and a powerful ability that I can possess and develop if I'm granted the permission to do it. Mm-hmm. And to proudly and authentically and genuinely show this information and give it to another human, because that's an honorable action. That's a prideful action. That's when you're in service to other humans around you. Mm-hmm. So genuinely channeling intelligent and profound wise consciousnesses, I'm going to say no to that. Of course, I'm going to say yes to that, regardless of how scary or menacing these beings feel,
right,
or appear.
Yeah,
it's just a fear. It's a visual fear. They don't mean us no harm. Right. They mean us no harm.
So you mentioned a young lady that introduced us many moons ago. And I came across your YouTube, which was a smaller size YouTube channel at the time. And I knew the second that I saw you that you were going to be big, and you are well beyond your way in doing that. You have a wonderful YouTube channel. You have a wonderful social media presence in general, a fantastic Instagram. And what's so exciting about all that, your worldly travels and all that information now, you are jamming into a podcast, which I know you're incredibly excited about. And I would love you to speak on your podcast and what someone can expect to hear when tuning in with you, because you ask really fantastic questions. And if someone has not seen him before, question asking is an absolute art. And this gentleman has it hands down. And so please tell me more about that endeavor, why you did it, and what the end goal is for it.
Well, the podcast things really came as an idea, and it came out of, I would say, two tiers, you know, two groups equally responsible for it, equally inspiring. The first one was, and not in any order, but the first one was I was really getting bored, you know, in life with just shooting videos. I shot over 40 videos, free videos. I never asked for a dime. I don't respect money. I never asked for a penny or a single donation or a super chat or a Patreon membership. I put it out there in some extremely deep subjects, very deep subjects. I talked about who lives on Mars, who lives on Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, what's telepathy, pineal gland, Saint Germain Collective, Sasquatch, reptilians, draconians, Zetas, hybrid programs, abductions, genetic extractions, Anunnakis, a variety of different things. But then I was just getting bored, and I was communicating with the reptilian consciousness. And then he made it like not really a joke, because they have no sense of humor. They have absolutely no emotions. They have no love. It's just straight, brutal, you know, military type of talk. And he says, well, how long do you plan on doing this for? And I was like, that's actually a good question. So I probably don't want to do it anymore. So I lost that interest to just record videos. So what I wanted to do is take into consideration other brilliant minds around the world. And by me saying that, I'm not calling myself a brilliant mind, but other interesting minds, educated people, people with triple or four different PhDs. I've interviewed recently someone I met in 1984, and then I met him in 1996 on a film set, Dan Jansen, Olympic gold medalist. And then I interviewed people that are spiritual people, or Mary Rodwell from Australia, specialist on abductions, and other people when it comes to, let's say, Sasquatch, such as the Sunbow brother from Quebec, and Roderick Martin, a friend of mine from a podcast named Why the Big Secret, a licensed MUFON UFO investigator. So many different people, because I'm getting their perspectives on life. And that truly was the mission and the aim. But one of the purposes, I would say, for me personally, was to truly challenge myself to take other opinions into consideration, see how open-minded I am, and to see if I'm wrong on some information. And I realized very quickly going into the show, as much as I was learning about UFOs or Sasquatch, or let's say spirits or angels or abductions, those are the things I don't specialize in. I realized also that the information that I was possessing, that I carry deeply, is a little bit too deep for an average person in our society today. And this is what, it was kind of disappointing, but I said, hey, I'm going to continue interviewing. And I invested more money into the studio. And now I have, and I can display it for your audience, we have a 30-foot studio. We have five cameras shooting in front of us, triple lights, boom mics everywhere. And living room area is there, a lounge where we can sit down and interview someone or have a presentation or a seminar. But this is also on camera where I teach my own one-on-one with clients. So if we're talking about removals of fear or teaching out a channel, well, it would be right in those chairs, right? So we have cameras really everywhere to do that. Yeah. So that was kind of the mission of the podcast. And I think we've done 7 episodes now. There's a girl that works for me on a part-time basis that assists with things because she has to monitor the 5 cameras being recorded at the same time. In 23, we'll do probably, I'd say, 2 shows a week, because I have 6 tours in 23. LA Conscience Expo, I'm going to in February. In March, I'll be at an IT expo in Fort Lauderdale, and then at the Trump Golf Resort for a medical expo with Dr. Judy Meredith, one of the top doctors on the planet right now, and a couple other folks. And then we're getting into UFO Expo. There's one in Manchester organized by Billy Carson, the Forbidden Network, in August. Mary Rodwell is going to be there, and Roderick Martin's going to be there. And then I'm going on my tour to Emirates, Russia again, Dubai, Turkey, and working with clients there. I mean, believe it or not, in Dubai, I have a lot of, most people that are interested to work with reptilian consciousness. One of the ladies that's on a current Netflix show called Dubai Bling, I believe, one of the main characters. She's worth like $26 billion, single girl. She's one of the clients. So it is wonderful to get to know these individuals. It's wonderful to get their perspectives. But I will be very honest to tell you, I'm not an overly loving guy. I'm a very neutral guy. And this is why I gravitate towards dominant reptilian consciousness. But I find the greatest pleasure is working with a human and providing them the piece of information and empowering him or her to go on their own path and do their own thing. And then hearing from them a year later says, "Dear Anthony, I just want to thank you for the recommendation. You made me do this. I just had my first contact. It was benevolent. You're right. They never harmed me." You know those stories?
Yeah.
Man, Jason, it is priceless. Right. Money is irrelevant. Those moments are to die for. They're absolutely priceless. And this is why I'm going to continue to really do this for life. And I'm currently in the process of writing a book, and is a book on my experiences with reptilians. Okay. There's another similar book. There's only one on the market. A gentleman wrote called Kalask, and he's a channeler of the sixth density draconian race. He's no longer a channeler. He retired. So I will be putting out a second reptilian book that's going to be probably published in 24. And I'm doing it now. I've been writing it for a while for people to get the true aspect of what it is like to meet a reptilian, what it is like to talk to them. And it's very interesting to talk to them. Like, they don't understand a lot of things in our culture. They asked me, this says, "Why is there water coming out of your eyes?" I said, "Well, those are called tears." He goes, "Well, why would you have that?" I'm like, "Well, either we're happy or either we're sad." He's like, "Why don't you just pick one emotion?" I'm like, "Well, we can't. We're emotional creatures." He's like, "Well, that's what makes you guys weak." And then he would educate you, what are human weaknesses? How to pause emotions. You know, they can teach you how to pause an emotion like guilt. Guilt is one, or fear is another. Phobia is another. They can eliminate your phobias in a matter of just looking at you. So obviously I made deals and agreements, very strict agreements with this race, Theta Tauri race, extremely powerful, dominant, fierce race. And they're on my website, what they look like. And I said, I wish to be a more powerful human. Teach me how to remove fear. Teach me how to remove weaknesses and inject what's called injections or integration of your own consciousness in my third density life. So when I'm walking around, I can see fourth density. When I'm walking around, I can see a human standing in front of me and be able to see what kind of entities would be hijacking this human or within this human's range. And this is how I'm able to tell you and say, look, dude, there's no need for you to do this and that because you got a lot of attachments. You got to get rid of your attachments. Here's what they look like. Why would you know that? Because I see them. So everyone I would advise to gravitate towards an extraterrestrial consciousness, start reading books, start meditating, start doing things. And I don't mean meditation where you're like doing it three times a day, like some groupie at a concert, some addict. No, with an intent, and I can teach how and so forth. And yes, the third eye flow can open up quite quickly, yes.
And if somebody wants to find out where you're at online, give them the details there, Anthony.
Well, yeah, my name is Anthony. I run a podcast named Canadian Awareness Podcast. And that is also the name of the YouTube channel, Canadian Awareness. And they can find me on a website, canadianawareness.ca.
Okay.
And a lot of my information is there. Pictures, videos, you know, things of that sort, including links to all the YouTube videos. And also my perspective, really, on human race, my perspective on human weaknesses. I don't respect a lot of passive, submissive, weak humans. I don't believe in even sharing a piece of air with them. And I gravitate to more of masculine energies, powerful, dominant energies. Those energies, true, that would match my own with tremendous amount of mental warfare. So mental power and so forth. And those are the, I would say, best ones that get along with me and vice versa. So if those are interested to channel, yeah, please contact me. I can help you.
Well, Anthony, thank you once again for your time. You know, I greatly appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to hopefully hanging out with you in the summer, right here in the nation's capital.
I look forward to that too.
All right. And thank you once again for tuning in for the Launchpad Podcast. My name is J-Man. Make sure to check out this dude. I'll have all the information in the description below. Subscribe to his YouTube, follow his podcast, and reach out if you're looking to learn how to channel from an authentic individual. Until next time, you take care, be well, and love simply because you can.
Hey, J-Man, thank you for having me on your show. Thank you for your time and for your energy, of course. And I wish to invite your audience one more time to take a look at our new podcast, Canadian Awareness Podcast, where I interview a variety of different people. And I like to use conversation, where I get to converse with a variety of different people and learn from them. And we exchange ideas and co-create in a way. So in season two, coming up now in February of 23, I'll have more and more guests. Take a look at the website at www.canadianawareness.ca for more information about me. But I know some of your audience already, Jay, and they know some of me, and it's been a pleasure to get to know them over the past year or so. So again, thank you for your time, and big regards to your entire audience, your team, and everybody in Ottawa.